Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today is, my name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I bring to you part four of an eight-part series entitled Questions to God, with today's message specifically entitled Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People, based off of Psalm chapter 137, verses 1 through 6, and John chapter 11, verses 23 through 35. So let us dive into the Word today. Besides the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. Amen. And John chapter 11, verses 23 through 35. Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep, so they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus wept. Amen. It is difficult to understand how God could allow the pain and suffering we see in the world and in our own lives. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus reminds us that a better question to ask ourselves is, what can I do to help those who are suffering and in pain? It doesn't take us long to look at the awful, evil, tragic, and oppressive things that happen to people. Hurricanes, train disasters, school shootings and murders, rapes, genocide, wars and endless rumors of wars. These are all in our faces on a daily basis. Every time I turn the news on, I end up cringing, anticipating what I may hear. The truth is, this world is broken. And we are constantly seeing bad things happen. We often see bad things happen to people we see as good, while the schemers, the corrupt, the evil, the cheaters, and the morally bankrupt seem to be skating on by on Easy Street. That's the perception anyway, and it can cause us to lose hope. And even wonder why God, if there is a God, would allow this to be. We have probably all heard different answers to the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Some from a faith perspective and some not. People commonly respond with cliche responses such as to teach a lesson, or it was punishment, or you may have heard that bad things such as a premature death happen to good people because heaven needed another angel, or because God doesn't exist, or there is no rhyme or reason to what happens in the world, etc. But none of these answers really come up satisfactory in the face of human suffering. I mean, God needs another angel. God takes away a baby not yet born or a 6-month-old because God needed another angel, really? Like, that's going to comfort the parent as they're grieving the loss of their child? No. No. In fact, it can do more harm, than good. So these answers come up unsatisfactory in the face of human suffering, especially if we want to maintain belief in a good, all-knowing, and all-powerful God. And what's more, when we think of it, okay, bad things happen to all people, good and bad alike, as do good things. After all, Jesus did teach us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, as he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. The truth be told, some of these cliche responses really can cause more harm than good when people are hurting. Scripture does not give us easy answers, but it may direct us to ask different, more helpful questions and provide comfort along the way. Now, Psalm 137 is a psalm of lament, as are approximately 1/3 of all the Psalms. And the Israelites had been sent out of their homeland, Jerusalem, after the ruin of their temple by the Babylonians. And they're living under enemy rule. They're far from home, not knowing if or when they'll ever return. Their captors taunt them, asking them to sing songs. These are real people just like us. These are real people just like us. Think about your congregation right now, post-pandemic. As for my congregation, we're uncertain too. Many churches are uncertain right now. And we wonder if and when we will return to church as we once knew it. When will people come back and begin to care for their sisters and brothers in Christ once again? And society taunts us by giving people other options to happiness than Christian fellowship. And we're haunted by memories that keep us locked in the past, afraid to move forward into the unknown. And make no mistake, all of this can leave us feeling abandoned by God. How could God let this happen to us when we've been a faithful congregation and we're a part of God's kingdom, a part of God's chosen people? Now, first, some of you here listening to this and many others out in the world may have learned it is wrong to question or complain to God. But the presence of this psalm and others like it in Scripture show that lament is a valid and expected response to suffering. That's right, God expects it. It is not explained away or edited out of the story. God can handle our anger and sorrow. In fact, let's look at verses 8 through 9. Let's look at verses 8 through 9 when we read in the same psalm that we read today, where the author calls out of anger for revenge. Let's listen to this. O Babylon, you will be destroyed. Happy is the one who pays you back for what you have done to us. Happy is the one who takes your babies and smashes them against the rocks. This shows the depth and brutal honesty of the pain being expressed. I mean, after watching that very thing happen to your own people, your temple torn down, your city sacked, your women and children dead in the streets, this is what anybody would want to happen to somebody who did that to us. The inclusion of this graphic verse does not mean God will answer this prayer for revenge or that God condones the attitude of vengeance. Remember, in the scriptures, it says, God says, vengeance is mine, right? But God is able to bear even our most difficult emotions. God is able to bear even our most difficult emotions. Next, I want you to notice the psalm does not even attempt to answer the question of why God's chosen people are experiencing exile and oppression. God is not depicted as a puppet master who pulls the strings to make good and bad things happen to people. So what does God do, and what is God's role in relation to human suffering? And we have to zoom out from this passage to see the bigger picture. As God's people face oppression and different challenges through their history, God is always there and faithful to them. God cares when people suffer. And God responds, though not always in the way or on the timeline people might want, but God responds. And we see an example of this pattern in the New Testament in John chapter 11, verses 23 through 35. Mary and Martha are grieving their brother Lazarus' death and tell Jesus if he had been there, Lazarus would not have died. But Jesus does not rebuke them for their sadness or for blaming him. In fact, he joins them in their grief. Jesus, God with us, feels our pain with and alongside us. Finally, God responds to people's suffering. In the case of Lazarus, Jesus raises him from the dead. For the people of Israel in Babylonian captivity, they were eventually allowed to return to Jerusalem. Eventually, the temple that had been destroyed was rebuilt, and then subsequently eventually destroyed again in 70 AD. But the point is not that everything will turn out well in the end, or that God will step in and reverse our pain and suffering. Rather, God comes into our suffering and brings redemption and goodness out of the midst of it. Moments of love, meaning, hope, and so on. Again, this doesn't make it any less difficult or painful, but God is there in it, with us, doing what only God can do amid tragedy. So I want to encourage you to reflect on where you stand with respect to God and your own or others' suffering. Do you believe you're not supposed to be angry with or question God? Are you currently upset or doubting God's goodness? I want to be a help and a resource to help you find a space and permission to lament and grieve. Instead of turning away from God in our suffering, how can you learn to let God into it? Also, you can be a listening ear, a calming presence, and a sojourner of faith with others who are experiencing suffering. And we are called to be the heart, voice, hands, and feet of Christ to people who lament, suffer, and grieve. And what would it look like if we spent less energy trying to answer the why or the how could God of what we're going through and put that energy into compassion towards others and, of course, towards self, and opening ourselves to the compassion that God wants to offer us amidst our suffering? What would it look like for our church to be the proof for people in our community that God cares when people suffer? Reflect on that, pray on it, and let us act on it together as God moves us from where we are to where God is calling us to be. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this message, which hopefully is both an inspiration but also a challenge to people to grow in their discipleship, to grow in their their willingness to be vulnerable and to share your love with others. Lord, that isn't easy. And with it comes sometimes having to go through things that we just can't explain or understand. And we thank you for guiding us along the way when those times come. But we do, Lord, keep moving forward in your name, hopefully bringing honor and glory to you. Give us the strength to continue doing that great work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, thank you for tuning in. It's always awesome to have you here listening to these, and I hope you get as much out of it as I get putting into it. Always please do check out the episode notes. You'll see a couple links there to our giving pages if you are able to contribute to the ministry of my church. That would be great. This message is free of charge, obviously, but if you have it in you to support a church and this is kind of your main spiritual sustenance for the week, that is awesome. If you attend another church, obviously support your church, and if you have it in you to support us both, we will both be grateful. With that said, friends, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.